are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do it, everybody. Matt Derry with you, Locked On Lions, Locked On Podcast Network on NFL Training Camp Day 1, Reporting Day, Tuesday, July 28th and a Wednesday, July 29th. Thank you for listening and joining me here on the podcast, which you can find, of course, at our home at megaphone.fm, but on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Also, like us and follow us on Spotify. I'm on Twitter, at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks, at Locked On Lions, and the Matt Derry Facebook fan page. Coming up, who's already reported? Who's been there? Who's taken their COVID tests? We'll tell you. Rod Wood on the Lions website gives a tour of the Allen Park facility. I have some questions about it. No, I'm not bashing Rod Wood. We'll do that today. Two separate national media members, NFL experts, are loving the Lions. We'll tell you about that today. And we got to get into players opting out. A big list of NFL players that have elected today to opt out and no longer take part in the NFL, at least for this season. Which, I'm not saying it's crazy, but the number is astoundingly higher than I expected it. But when you're talking about COVID-19, you're talking about interacting with others, blocking, tackling, and they have families. I understand it. So, busy show today here on Locked On Lions on this Tuesday, the first day of official NFL training camp. Now, as far as what the Lions are doing today, we told you yesterday, today, tomorrow, and Friday, Lions players will come to the facility. They'll go in a separate tent. They won't go in the facility, but they will go to a tent, and they will take a COVID-19 test. Then they will leave. All right? There can be workouts that can go on outside of the building. There are going to be virtual meetings that will go on in the building. But as far as, look, the coaches are in the building, and that's about it. Some other personnel. The players are not NOT to be in the building. Matthew Stafford, according to reports, is one of the first to get his COVID-19 test done this morning. And, you know, look, players need to be testing positive, players need to be testing negative in order to get out on the field and start working out in a few weeks, all right? The entire team won't be out there working out and actually going through NFL drills and football practice until August the 12th. Now it's all about testing for the first few weeks and having some workouts, but that's it. So that's where we are as far as what training camp really is today. It's not much. It's not much at all. Now, what I found interesting, and I thought the Lions did a very good job, you got to give them credit for this, team president Rod Wood basically gave a tour of the Lions facility on the Lions website and all over their social media. And what we see is there's an extra tent behind the cafeteria that is outside now for players to grab boxed food, pre-prepared food, and eat. But the tables are all socially distanced. The chairs are all socially distanced. There's social distancing in the locker room. There are areas now in the hallway where players can get taped for workouts and get stretched out. All of those tables now, which used to all be in the locker room and in the training room, some are still in the training room, but now some are out in the hallway. There are arrows on the floor, just like at Kroger or at Meijer, to tell you one way to go this way. There's social distancing signs everywhere. There's hand sanitizer everywhere. The entire facility has basically been revamped, and you have to give the Lions credit. They've done it right. It looks good. But my big question is that I don't understand, and no one will seem to want to answer, is that while the Lions are preparing for all of these things, where players can be distanced eating, where players can be distanced working out, where players can be distanced in meetings, where players can be distant walking down the hall, come August 17th, when there's padded practices, they're going to be hitting each other. the distancing is gone. Like, does anybody else, with me on this? Like, I want this to work. And so far, Major League Baseball appears to be working outside of the Miami Marlins and their 17 positive tests. The NBA's in a bubble. The NHL's in a bubble. So far, so good there. But with football, you have to touch other people. You have to breathe on other people. I just have a hard time thinking this is going to work. How are teams going to, what if a couple of guys on one team get it? But then in practice, they're going up against each other. The cornerback is touching the receiver as the ball's in the air. In practice, pads or no pads. That's where the confusion lies, at least for me. And that's kind of where we get to all of these players electing to opt out, meaning many, a handful, a good a chunk of NFL players have decided to say they're done. So, you know, players have until August 3rd to declare if they want to opt out and not report and not play this year. The New England Patriots have six players that have already said they will not play this year. Running back Brandon Bolden, linebacker Dante Hightower, offensive tackle Marcus Cannon, who's very high risk. He's got asthma and other things. Patrick Chung, their starting safety. That's four starters because Bolden is a very good special teamer. That's four starters. Along with Danny Vitale and Najee Torin, a guard. Two Cowboys. Stephen Guidry, Maurice Kennedy, out. DeAnthony Thomas, the receiver for the Ravens, he's done. Chance Warmack, the guard for Seattle, says he's not playing. Eddie Goldman of the Bears, their very good nose tackle, not going to play. Star Lotulelei from the Bills, their very talented D tackle, opting out. Marquise Goodwin, the Eagles wide receiver, who they picked up in a trade this offseason. Not going to play. He's opting out. Michael Pierce, high-risk guy, has many, many issues medically. D-tackle the Vikings picked up. All right? Considered a high-risk opt-out candidate. There's a lot of players, and I haven't mentioned all of them. So, no Lions, as of right now, have elected to opt out. What do I think of this whole situation? I want to tell you about that next, plus also coming up, my goodness gracious, NFL, national NFL reporters like the Lions here on day one of training camp, which is basically, like I said, just a bunch of COVID tests. We'll tell you about that next, right here on Locked On Lions. Welcome back, Matt Derry with you. Thank you for listening and joining the show today. Listen, here's one thing I want to say about people who are going to rip on any of these players or judge any of these players that are opting out. And so far, I haven't seen this, which is a good thing. But when you talk about certain number of players, and I'll use the example of the wide receiver I mentioned before, Marquise Goodwin from the Eagles. Marquise Goodwin and his wife have been trying to get pregnant for multiple years, many years. She had three miscarriages. They finally got pregnant and had a baby a few years ago. I believe their daughter is 3 years old. And Marquise Goodwin is saying, yes, I know I was picked up by the Eagles and they need me and everything else, but I need to be healthy going home. My wife is a bit high risk. It took a lot of in vitro, I guess, and a lot of different ways of pregnancy to get their daughter delivered and not delivered, but you know what I mean. Conceived everything else. And Goodwin is elected to, you know, opt out because he just does not want to infect his family and he doesn't want to put his family at risk. And I commend him for that. This is a very difficult decision. He doesn't want to risk his health with his wife and daughter at home. And this was a guy that was brought in from the Niners who, you know, I'm sorry, 5-month-old daughter. And his wife had three miscarriages. That's it. Three miscarriages, not 3 years old. Three miscarriages, about a 5-month-old. So family comes first. And I can understand fans that love football and wanted to see Goodwin on the field for the Eagles in the worst way. Philly needs weapons. But he put his family first and elected to opt out. And so with a newborn girl at home, he just doesn't want to put his family at risk. And I have a lot of respect for these guys because football for many of them is all they know. Football has been a life for them since they were in high school. And to not be able to play and to not be able to do what they love is very difficult. But coronavirus, COVID-19, this is real and it's not going away and it doesn't seem to be going away. And so putting his family at risk was something he had to think about. And I respect these guys for opting out. Now, no Lions have done it yet, but how will you react? How would you respond if a few Lions decided not to play? I hope you would understand. Because there really is no protocol. There really is. There's nothing known about this. Football, NFL right now, and NBA and NHL, they're watching what's going on in sports. They're seeing that a bubble seems to be working with MLS, and it worked with Premier League Soccer and all that. But here with baseball, imagine being a family member of somebody playing for the Miami Marlins, where they've tested positive. They've got 17 guys test positive. Now, again, Florida's a dumpster fire. It's a joke. It's a joke. They have no idea what they're doing when it comes to COVID and handling the situation. So don't get ready to hop on any Lion players they elect to opt out. I think that would be completely unfair. But that's a long list. And what's going on in New England? Is it just coincidence that six Patriots have decided to opt out? You know, it's kind of weird. Because everybody would probably think, oh, if you're on the Patriots, you're playing. It's Belichick. It's, you know, it's that brand. It's winning. It's everything else. I find that very interesting that four starters with the Patriots and some pretty big names there with Dante Hightower and Patrick Chung and Marcus Cannon all saying they are not going to play. You know, Eddie Goldman, that's a big loss for the Bears. Big loss for the Bears. That's a really, really good football player. Your thoughts on it at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks on Twitter and the Matt Derry Facebook fan page as well. Be very interested in what people have to say and what people think about this situation. All right, national folks impressed with the Detroit Lions. It continues. Diana Russini of ESPN was the first to chime in today about the Detroit Lions. And then Chris Sims also piling on, but in a good way. Today on Twitter and on Pro Football Talk from this morning. What did they say? We'll tell you about it next on Locked On Lions. All right, so the team won three games last year, but including me and others, many feel the Detroit Lions are going to be a better football team here in 2020 if we can get through a season. And today, Diana Russini, who covers the NFL for ESPN and has been an NFL reporter the last couple of years, tweeted out the following at Diana ESPN. Quote, feeling dangerous at 10 a.m. Bills quarterback Josh Allen is going to put Bills in contention for a Super Bowl. And, you ready for this? The Detroit Lions will win their division. Bold predictions with my bold coffee, the end. Wow. The Detroit Lions are going to win their division, according to Diana Russini. Again, bold predictions. Now, Restore the Roar wrote in on Twitter and said, our offense is no joke with a healthy Stafford behind the helm. If our defense manages to find some success, we could be a division winner. Obviously, I'm biased, but I don't think she's that far off. We also had a great draft. Hashtag one pride. I'm going to repeat myself. I think that's misguided. I still think the Minnesota Vikings are the class of this division. I don't think Green Bay is going to win the division. I don't think Green Bay is going to be 13-3 like they were a year ago. I watched Aaron Rodgers' interview with Kyle Brandt this morning, and it's all over Twitter, where he talked about Jordan Love getting drafted. And Aaron Rodgers is going to be playing with a chip on his shoulder this year, and he knows this could be his last year. He admitted, they're not keeping me around. They drafted this kid to play this kid. But winning the division, I still have my questions about the defense. And here is a team reports for training camp and goes through their COVID-19 testing for the next couple of weeks before they really do anything other than virtual meetings. I'm here to tell you, I'm not convinced yet that they can get enough stops on defense to be winning any division, let alone the NFC North, which is ultra competitive. People are going to say, well, last year, two teams made the playoffs and the Bears finished 8-8. It's a really good division. It is a good division. I don't think you'll see that this year. Do I think Green Bay is a 13-win team this year? Again, no. Do I think the Bears are going to win 8 games this year with the quarterback situation they have? No. I think Minnesota, I believe, was 10-6 last year, could get better. Although the Dalvin Cook situation is something to watch, even though he did report today to take his test. But the Lions aren't winning 3 games this year. The Lions will be much better. But I'm not ready to go on the Russini train and agree with her and say they're going to win the division. Now, Chris Sims chimes in. He was on Pro Football Talk this morning talking about the Lions. Quote, I know Matt Patricia wants to play through his defense, but the offense is what intrigues me. Some good playmakers there, and Matthew Stafford was, all caps, great last year before injury. If he's completely adjusted to Patricia's style, this year could be good. End quote. And that again from Chris Sims from Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports, PFT Live, and his Unbuttoned podcast. He's right about the offense. You know, it's a shame. It's such a shame that due to the virus, the Lions can't get out on the field for a few weeks. Because to see what DeAndre Swift could do with Kerryon Johnson, with the backfield that the Lions have, which is very, very deep, even if you throw out a guy like Bo Scarborough being your third or fourth running back. Then you look at the weapons that the Lions have at receiver, at tight end. The newly improved, we hope, but new look offensive line and a healthy Matthew Stafford and an actual backup quarterback this year in Chase Daniel. Yes, I agree with Sims. I think this offense does have playmakers and is intriguing. But I was thinking about this today before the show. Once they start playing games, the Lions have got to be more aggressive to come out of the locker room in the second half. The percentage of runs, and I forgot who tweeted this out or put this out there a few weeks ago, but the Lions' percentage of running plays in the third quarter was like the highest of any team in the league last year. But it's not like they were playing with a lead and were trying to run out the clock every week. The Lions were way too conservative in second halves of games last year, and that's got to change. I don't know if that's Matt Patricia. I don't know if that's just Daryl Bevel or what that is, but that must change. If you've got a thoroughbred in Stafford and everybody's calling him great, let him run. Let him run. I'm not saying run. I'm saying thoroughbred, let the thoroughbred do its thing. That's going to be a big, big part of this season. Because if the defense is off the field, because the Lions offense is getting first downs and getting the job done, then we're in for a fun season. I have my concerns about the defense. Who doesn't? Can they get enough sacks? Can they get enough pressure? Are they going to rush 3 and drop 8 all year again? But as far as the offense goes, no. As long as they're not too ultra-conservative in the second halves of games, let's go. But I'm excited either way. I'm looking forward to it. All right, that'll do it for Locked On Lions today on day one of a training camp and everything else, which really is just COVID-19 testing. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on the Locked On Podcast Network.